If we do for one, we do for the other. If we just serve those that we know are Christians, how will we reach out and reach those who are lost if we show partiality? And yet, we want to do the right thing. We want to show ourselves to be the right kind of people. Well, what pleases God about His children is our service and our behavior and being conduct within where we live and what we do in our neighborhoods. And all of us have stories that we could share where we've been blessed to serve and to help others, and how others have helped us and been there for us. Well, we ask sometimes, even today, I was thinking last night about my great-grandparents and my grandparents. And I had asked them, because my grandfather never began to draw Social Security and other benefits that the government had provided because they were not offered back. My great-grandfather never experienced any of those benefits that came about. You know, we look back, at least I do, and I think about the benefits I have that Uncle Pam, Sam provides. And why should I complain about it? Because, well, you say you earned it. I mean, you put into it. You did this, you did that. That may be true. But I asked my dad one time about his parents, about Pappy, about Grandpa. And he said, well, I'm trying to help your grandfather now begin to get some type of Social Security, some kind of health insurance. And so we go through life and we take a lot of things for granted as we move through life. And when you read about these things, you say, well, no, we're talking about the tongue here. That's what we're talking about. Yes, we're going to spend some time there. But I think about what we have and the communication to helping others to get benefits that are available there, that shows our Christian life to others. And it helps us to reach out to other people. Jesus established laws, the Old Testament, the New Testament. We're under the New. We look back at the Old, and we see examples and things we can pull forward there, things that were brought forward. But it's a different world. And that's another thing I was thinking about. Don't want to spend a lot of time upon this particular verse, but Jesus never minced words about the sins and the sins in the lives of people. He never did sugarcoat it. He was very straightforward, and he spoke in those terms. He spoke in Mark chapter 12, verses 38 and 40, Jesus chides the religious leaders because of the way they behave and the things that they said and how they behave. We look at the church at Jerusalem. We see how the church at Jerusalem and the establishment of the church in Acts chapter 6 and the care that was given to widows and orphans and their afflictions. That's not in that sixth chapter there, the book of Acts, but it does talk about those ladies and who were, I call it meals on wheels. The widows were being neglected. And there was meals that were served and things that were doing there. And when you think about the works that we do, the things that we do, well, all of this is communicated through wholesome communication. You know, some of us worked in factories for a while. And in the factories, you'll hear everything, and you'll see every kind of person. You'll see those who are deeply Christian and those who will isolate themselves purposely because they don't want to hear the conversation sometimes that's spoken out like that. And then there are others who sit in the middle, and then there are others who it doesn't bother them. That's just common to hear those kinds of language and things that are spoken and said and done. And it's, you know, the prevalence of it are seeing it in our society now. And you train your children. And I think about children growing up and the language that they hear and the things that they see. And yet, this book right here has not changed. And when you read the book of James, he deals with a host of topics right there. And he talks about many things within a small book and the things that he has. share. James is saying the misuse of our focus on what's right and what's wrong. He lays those things down. He talks to us about those things in the book of James. So when we read and we talk about our language, about our attitude, about how we present ourselves, whether it be at the barbershop, whether it be with our neighbors, wherever it might be, the life that we live and the example that we have. And of course, many of us who grew up in the church, being a child and going to Madison most all my life until Brother Garner trained my dad and some other men to go out into the field and to preach in country churches, we call it, that didn't really have a preacher who was a located preacher, but he might have four Sunday drapers, and the next Sunday, he'd be the first Sunday, he might be over at Red Boiling Springs and moving around like that preaching, and others did, to go into these congregations like that and take the word. And then there would be those times that they'd have what was called a big gospel meeting, and they went on for all 10 days, 2 weeks. And I can remember going over to Red Boiling, and also there on Cub, that they would dam up the creek. They didn't have baptisms. And they'd dam up the creek there, and that water would back up at Miss Laura Wilson's. And they'd go over there at night, right after the meeting, and there were responses and baptisms, and they baptized there. And that creek helped those landings out there so they could see. You know, I think, boy, you must be 100 years old, Norman, to go back that far. But you know what? Life has been so quick. And the days pass by quicker now, at least from my perspective. And I thank God for the gift of memory to look back. And then when I read a book that I think is a very practical book, the book of James, and you lift up off of the pages the stories and the examples, and particularly about the power of the tongue. A good mouth or a bad mouth. And we've heard both, you know, he's bad mouth everybody. Or she bad mouths. Or he has something good. He's a good finder. And they say good things. They have pleasant things, things that encourage and help and do. Well, that's our Christian life. That's how we as Christians ought to be viewed, as being the right kind of people that say and do the right kind of things. Well, I want us to look now a little further. I've read those things in regard to the life, but I want to share some more things to you. James is a statistician. The average person spends, and somebody broke this down, and I thought it was interesting, about one-fifth of his life talking. Do you ever break it down how much talk you do? How much time you spend just talking? He said a single day to be filled, just a conversation, would be five-page book. A 50-page book, excuse me. I got a zero. A 50-page book, that's how much. You say, here's all that you say, all that you do. And looking back, I think about that. It could be underestimated there, because watching ladies whose husbands went through to get their doctorate, and the wife would type up the thesis and everything and get things ready, and how much time Shirley spent typing up all of that to get it in order to put in a hardback book, and then here's the rough copy right here. And think of all the time and the energy that went into that. But you know what? I think about just a daily conversation. If you visit with your neighbors, some of you have telephones, and that phone goes everywhere you go. And you answer that phone, and y'all talk, and you visit, and how much conversation is exchanged there, and how much we communicate, and what's available for us to communicate and write and to do. And yet, they didn't have all that communication. When they left after Pentecost, and they began to be scattered abroad, and go down here, and go there, and they take the word with them, and they begin to share the word, and others begin to share. And before long, the word, because of the ability to talk and to share, sometimes to a group, sometimes to an individual, to live that life, and to read from the Word of God, the behavior and all, it's amazing. In 1 year, the average person's words would fill 132 books, and each book contained 400 pages. Now, that was just almost mind-boggling. That sounded like that somebody sitting down making up something big. But it's supposed to have credibility behind it. And I'm depending on that being right. But you think about that, and right underneath it, we spend 13 years of our life just talking. And I know some people, wives, think their husbands spend maybe 15, 16 years talking. We're not going to pick on women, pick on them. But you know, men do a lot of talking and a lot of corresponding with each other. And if you work out in the community, or if you worked at DuPont or places like that, all the conversations that go on, and everything can be talked about. I tell you what, if you begin to talk about politics, you'll get a good crowd. If you begin to talk about the Word of God and what God's Word says about a behavior or something, you know what? They go back to their machines earlier or work that they've got to do. They won't hear that. But you talk about things in the world, well, let's hear this, let's hear that. We'll be attentive to that. We'll listen to that. Well, I don't know where I got this, but I like it. Some folks talk so much, they say things they never thought of. Now, I believe that with all my heart. Talk so much, you know, you just go, whoa, 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 whoa. And then they get the guard on and they say, did I really say that? What was the point of that? And if we're not careful, the tongue. And there's a great deal that was in the Word of God about the tongue. And if we go to the book of Proverbs, I'm not going to take the time to read that. First of all, 2 Timothy deals with, in 3:3, talks about slander, the negative part of what the tongue. Tongue can do good. Tongue can do bad. He talks about it in Titus 2:3. He uses that word slander. How we slander and how we use our tongues and the things that we say. But he compliments the older women there in Titus about their maturity. And he goes on and talks about, many of you know, about teaching the younger women to love their husbands and to do and so on like that. But we're looking at and thinking back, looking back, looking into the mirror, thinking about our own life, looking within ourselves, about governing what we say and what we do, because it is volumes to be spoken and said out there. And what we are not conscious of sometimes can be offensive to other people. So we must look at those things. But you go to the book of Proverbs, and there is a large section, if you'll run your references, that deals specifically with the tongue. You know, he says in Proverbs 25:11, he said, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and setting silver. You know, there are those, Jim Bill was a man. We had him here for those years, and how blessed we were, and to think how he could articulate, how he could relate, and the things that he could say and capture you. It was amazing. And yet here was a man with a great deal of experience and very gifted in what he could do. And he used that gift well in preaching and teaching and sharing. And he carried over into all of his life. If you ever got a letter or a note that said thank you, well, goodness, you thought President had sent you something like that. And I'm being serious about it. He had that ability as a communicator and the goodness that he could do to help others. Well, let's turn back a page now and let's spend a little time here in looking at verse 27. My father, years ago, he would challenge me every now and then. He'd say, if you'll memorize this, well, this will happen if you do this. Well, verse 27 is one that he said, Norman, if you will memorize this. And I just have written here about my dad, so you memorize it. But he said, pure religion, undefiled religion, before God the Father is this: to take care of widows and orphans and their afflictions, and to keep yourself unspotted from the world. Now that's a pretty good sized sandwich right there when you think about that, because he starts out, pure religion, undefiled religion, before God the Father is this. Here's the widows. Here's the orphans. Let's take care of widows and orphans. And then the third, and stay unspotted from the world. That's a very powerful passage of Scripture. It carries a lot within it when you think about that and you look about that. How it's worded, what it says, and what James is sharing with us there. Well, Jesus never minced words. He really didn't. He had a way of speaking and dealing with the sins of others. And one of them that I shall never forget is when he drew in the dirt there. And those men were very critical and harsh on this one lady. And he said, those of you who be without sin, throw the first one. And you know, they just kind of evaporated, didn't they? And sometimes if we'll take the word of God, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. The word of God, the power of God's word in our heart, then we would be more protective of what we had to say and those things we might say. And sometimes maybe you, I know I've done it on occasions, but I had no idea. You know, you blurt out something. And then you could look and see someone's face and you'd say, oh, I said something that I shouldn't have right there. And then later on, you're leaving there and going to say, and that person catches up and says, did you realize this? And you say, oh, you know, I didn't know that. I didn't understand, you know. And then you want to go back and apologize and say, hey, I'm deeply sorry that I offended you. I wish I hadn't been such a motor mouth for popping off like that or saying what I did or doing. But he talks about a pure religion, undefiled before God the Father. And then he talks about seeing about widows and orphans. Now you think about the ladies, the widow ladies within our congregation. You think about larger congregations and widow ladies and taking care of the widow. I can remember years ago, Brother North, or Sister North one, we would have work days, and it would be to go to the widows' homes. And I'll never forget, one of my assignments was a widow lady, of course, and I went out, and I said, you know, what do you need done around here? And she said, here's the things outside I want done first. And I did not, it did dawn on me, and I don't mind telling you, Sister Jackson lived out there well off O'Hickory Boulevard and down, Brick Church Pike. She lived way back off the road. So, well, the azalea bush, or I don't know what it was, kind of, it wasn't an azalea because they don't get that big, but it was a big old bush, pie camphor, that's what it was. But anyway, and her window, she said, I can't even see out that window. And I said, my goodness. I said, what do you want me to cut down? She said, cut it down to about this size. It'll grow. But it's more important to me when I get up and open up. I like to look outside and see the bright day and the good day or see what the weather's like out there. And so her main thing was to get the light in. And that was helping and assisting a little. And I said, well, it was a huge brush pile. You know, before you got that light, been crowded if you try to put all the brush from going around the house, just clearing those things away from her house. Well, that's doing good works for widow. She couldn't do that of her own. And why should she when she has the church that can do those kinds of work? We at Neely's Men. I think about little ladies we have and things that we can do. I think about those that would take those ladies who couldn't and many men to doctor's appointments and do things of that nature. You retire, you're looking for things to do, serving others. What greater blessing can there be? And the Lord wants us to serve others. Well, when James talks about here, he's talking about two groups. He's talking about the little fatherless. He's talking about those widow ladies and caring and managing things for them and helping them get through the issues of life. You think about the influence that has. And people who see and say, my goodness, sister, you got all your, yeah. Some men from the church came and cleaned up. And you know, there'd be a lot of ladies there that wanted to go to help and to do and to encourage there. And so there's always work and good examples that we can use. And James is very good at pointing out various things like that we can do. He talks about boasting. Well, when we do something, it is best that we don't go around telling everybody what we do. It'll be found out. It'll be known. But sometimes, you know, we want to get credit. We want to be, you know, before I did this or I did that. Just be, and I don't know where I got it or heard it, Brother North probably, or my dad, being a silent servant. You ever think about that? Just be a silent servant. Just do good, don't tell anybody. And you have that opportunity on many occasions, at least up where I do. You know, folks will go off on vacation, and I'll see the newspapers pile up or start to pile up, and I'll get them, put them up on the front porch there and do those kinds of things. And I don't do it for any credit. And sometimes people will say, you know who put those papers up on the porch? And I said, well, I don't know. I hadn't thought about that. Well, the Lord will forgive me, I hope, for telling a story like that. Not that I do that much of it. But I'm saying that's just one thing that we can do. And you know, those folks don't go to church anymore. Just be a do-gooder. And when you think about that, they're not widows or orphans, they're your neighbors. But there are widows who live within the community that I live in there that we could serve and we could help. Now, when the community gets ready to do something, you see, it's a major involvement there. Let's do this and let's do that. And it's all cosmetic, up and down the road, sometimes within the area in which you live, to brighten things up there. It's all to advance it. And I'm talking about, as a church, reaching out and doing things within the community, not looking for authority, but looking for opportunities to serve and to do and to help. And he says, what is it? Pure religion, undefiled before God the Father. You visit with the ladies. You see about them. You see about those needs. You look at the orphans and you think about the orphans and taking care of orphans. And it's amazing within the church how many children's homes we really have. We've probably got about three down in Alabama. Two Sunnybrook's over in Mississippi. But I think about those children's homes there. I think about Spring Hill and the children's home down there. And I think about the Madison Church of Christ. A bunch of the men would go down and play basketball on Saturdays with those older boys there at Spring Hill. And just to show and to encourage and to help. You say, well, doing that, having fun? Well, it wasn't so much fun when you got up next morning and they could hardly walk because there was some stiff, you know, one of the kids. But you think about still the influence and what you do in reaching out with us and orphans and their afflictions. And the main thing, sand spotted from the world can never have enough bigger, better, and more. You think about that. We can never do bigger, better, and more within our community of reaching out to them and encouraging others and being an example to others. And I go back to the first time down here years ago, knocking doors. And I was surprised that I didn't have more doors of Christians, members of the church. And I've told the story, I'm not going to tell it again today, but of a member of the church that went to another congregation. And when he told me, he said, Norman, did you realize I've been down here only the first one to ever knock the door? And that just kind of flabbergasted me. I can't imagine living in an area that had as many churches and nobody. You know, that kind of lit a fire underneath. Ought to light a fire under any of the congregations that do not take care of their Jerusalem, whether it be, and I'm just pulling Jackson Park out of the area. They have a Jerusalem down there. They need to get out, take care of their Jerusalem. Madison has a Jerusalem. Rivergate does. Billetsville does. Everybody, every congregation has a Jerusalem that they need to get out and to see about the people in their community. And you think about where you live. You put it down. Here I live, and I look at, here's neighbors. Here's neighbors off over here. Neighbors there. Neighbors there. Do you go see about them? Do you check on them? You know, I was thinking the other day, I've been up there 25 years. That means some of my neighbors were there before I got there. If I'm as old as I am, then I need to go check on them, see if they need a wheelchair or a walker, you know. And I'm being serious about that. Does anybody check on or see about your neighbor? Hadn't seen anybody in a while. Go to the door, knock on the door, say, you know, I hadn't seen you. Well, she's sick and I don't get out much. And when she begins to settle down late in the evening, then I'll get in the car and I'll go out and do this and come back. I'll stay gone home. This is the truth. This is a lot of what I think James is saying. Let's not talk about it. Let's get busy and let's do it. Let's identify and let's reach out. And I think we're doing marvel. Probably not many churches within our brotherhood, and particularly here, reach out as much in the benevolent area as we do. And I wouldn't be ashamed to put us up against anybody, really, in helping and doing for others. And I don't say that as a brag or a boast. I just think that we've been honored with the privilege of serving our community and helping others. And see, that's the whole thrust. That was the thrust of Madison, was reaching out and helping others. And I think about the large clothing room and the large food room and so many things. I can remember going down on Christmas Eve with Ray Wilson because two families somehow had fallen through. And he said, would you meet me down there and give those gifts to those families? And it made me cry so they could go back home and have their Christmas Eve and Christmas with gifts. And if there hadn't been a church to reach out and help them. See, that's the work of the church, taking care of. Some of those little children didn't have a dad in the home. He might have been there one day, but he left. And so there was mom trying to take care of. And so the opportunities are out there, and they've always been there. And here's just a little bit of what James is saying to us about what we can do and should do. Mr. Wesley said, anything that cools my love for Christ is the world. If anything out there is taking my love or drawing off my love for Jesus, it must be of the world. You know, I thought a lot about that since I read that the other day. If you're not careful, something steps in line ahead of Jesus Christ and his love for us. He died for us. He paid the price for us. James is very practical, very plain, very to the point, and reinforces through his word there about watch what you say, watch what you do. People are watching you to see what you do. Well, let's have a prayer. And we can have some fellowship. Father, I thank you for this Sunday morning. I thank you for the beauty of the day. I thank you, Father, for each and every person in this room. But the burden that I have for me, I'm not trying to put the burden on anybody else, it's me, as I look at where I live and the community that I'm in and reaching out to others there. Because there's opportunity everywhere. And I think about congregations that I drive by to come here that are void of any good works. Father, let us continue to let our light shine here, not as a boast, the people know that we're trying to help them to do good. Thank you again for your grace. Thanks for the gift of your Son. In Jesus' name.